This is the Phantom from the World Wide Web. Welcome to Phantom Radio, presented by the Kegel Company, the number one lane maintenance company in the world. Well, Phantom fans, this week's special guest has been here with us many times before, and he always gives our listeners a lot of valuable information. And over the years, he has coached many top pros and international players. He's been a student of the game for over 40 years, and he has developed many of the modern coaching techniques that are currently being taught around the world. He's also known for thinking outside the box in training and helping bowlers of all levels. And he's known as one of the top ball drillers in the world because he once drilled for the best on the PBA Tour for over 8 years. And all of this experience has led him to develop a revolutionary new method of laying out the grip on a bowling ball, which is known as the tri-grip. And he was probably the very first person to recognize that the reactive series of bowling balls were absorbing lane oil from the bowling lane. And he's always busy learning and teaching. So let's get him out here and see what he's up to now. So, Phantom fans, here he is again, the very talented Mr. Bill Hall. Hello, Bill, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, Blue Doyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, the weather's been good. There's no rain. It's good golfing weather, but from what I hear, it's good teaching bowling weather, too, because I want to get to that a little later in the show, but I'm hearing some really good reports. But first of all, I really appreciate you taking your time to be here with us again on Phantom Radio. And as usual, I got a lot of questions that I'd like to ask you. So are you ready for this?
Hit me with your best shot. Let me see what we've got.
Well, I wish I knew you were going to say that. I could have turned that music on because that's one of my favorite songs. All right, well, let's start with this one. You know, I've heard that you came out with a new glove with Storm called the Power Glove. So you can use this as an endorsement, an advertisement, whatever you want, because I know this has been a long time in the making. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, you know, it took us over 2 years to finish to end up with the finished product. And basically what it is, you know, there's been a lot of gloves that have had palm pads in them. But the one thing that I've always wondered about and really struggled with was the palm pads never actually fit my hand. So these palm pads are interchangeable. They come with three different sizes. Most people are settling in on the large, but there's a large, a medium, and a thin pad. And that pad can be moved more towards your index finger, further back away from the index finger. You can use a thicker pad, thinner pad. The whole idea is to get the ball to rest on the strongest side of the hand, which is where your index finger is. So by filling that gap with and customizing that area of that gap with the pads, it strengthens the weak side of your hand and lays the ball in the most important finger on your hand, which is actually the index finger. We don't realize it, but actually the index finger is the strongest part of our hand, and all great players have always used the index finger as the guide or the leverage part of the hand with a bowling ball. So this is really helping getting that laid over there. And so far, the reports have been phenomenal. And I really appreciate the people giving it a legitimate chance.
Well, I know for a fact that the index finger is the strongest finger because I used to do lanes and they used to poke me in the chest with that finger when they didn't like the lane condition. So I got a lot of scars on my chest there, Parts.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of experience by all of us. I mean, you know, but one thing we bowlers have to realize is, you know, you keep hearing it, and I just have a different opinion of it, but we've got to use a lot of strength in our hand in order to control a swinging object that gains at about 150 pounds of momentum or whatever, 10 times whatever the weight is that you have is the momentum. So you better use the best part of your hand and the strongest to get the most balance out of that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, before the show's over, we'll get an address of where they can order these gloves. So bowling fans out there, get your pens and pencils ready because we'll give you that address at the end. But I know that you live in Vegas now, Farge, and you were there this year for the Nationals, and I need to know your opinion and what are some of your thoughts on how the oil patterns played out there. Would you say that the lanes were as hard as the people were saying?
You know, absolutely not. I mean, you can't miss three boards to the right and four boards to the left and expect it to get to the pocket. But they're not as hard as people are saying they are. But, you know, I go by this. One thing that a house condition does is it steals, and I do mean that word literally, steals what a player should feel. So when the feel is stolen from you because it's covered up by such an easy pattern, you really don't know what you're supposed to feel. And you know as well as I do, all the great bowlers knew and know what the feel is. I mean, 99.9% of this game is feel. If you don't know what it feels like, you really don't know how to control the bowling ball. So a house condition really covers it up to where you're not really, it confuses players about the feel. Well, this tournament is basically, from spending a lot of time over there, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. This is basically an old school lacquer type reaction where you get the ball to set up early and lay up to the pocket instead of getting it past the oil pattern and snapping it back. This pattern says get through the ball really clean. And you know what? You do it right, I'll open up for you. If you do it wrong, I'm going to shut the lanes down. So, you know, it's really not what people think it is, in my opinion. And there is room on the lanes. I mean, there's been, what, 300 games or something like that? So
yeah.
It's not like they're impossible. But what it comes down to is you have to, if you're going to bowl on something challenging, you better know what a different feel is. Because they do, a house condition requires one feel, which to me is actually a very sloppy feel because I won't even bowl on a house condition anymore. But a demanding condition requires you to have a more precise feel. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, keeping it in the fairway, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, I mean, you know, there's plenty of room out there, but the one thing that, you know, here's one thing that I wish would happen, and we have technology on our side. You know, at the end, everybody looks at their averages and stuff like that, but really it's a bunch of crap because it doesn't tell you the true potential. So it's only a status point, but what if at the end you got a rating, like let's say on your single pins, you missed 9 out of 10 or whatever. If you would learn how to make these spares, here's what your potential is. That to me would be much more important than just looking at a baseline number on what I averaged. I'd want to know what have I got to work on to improve if I'm going to bowl these types of tournaments.
Yeah, good point, Pards. Good point. You know, I mentioned this earlier, but I see that you're often on Facebook and you're over there passing along knowledge as usual, and I know that your lesson business has really been expanding based on all that feedback I see, but can you give me a reason as to why you think this is happening?
You know, Blue Oil, I know someone's not going to like what I have to say, but it is what it is. When I do lessons now, I don't do any on a house condition because it just kind of covers up everything. More and more bowlers are looking at going to college. More and more bowlers are basically getting bored of, you know, bowling on what I call the recreational condition. They realize that the scores are really inflated. And I'm getting bowlers from all different skill levels right now that really want to find out, they want to go compete. They don't want to just, you know, throw a ball down a lane and, you know, have the lane man be their hero or the oil pattern be their hero. They literally want to learn much more about their physical abilities. It's a different attitude with quite a few players. I don't know if it's going to continue to grow, but it's nice to see that the attitude is changing and that people are getting really just kind of bored, I guess is a great word, for bowling on a house condition. Let's face it, there's not a whole lot to it. Just stay behind the foul line, basically.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, Pards. Hey, Billy, can you hang on for a minute or two? As I need to tell our listeners about this month's Storm Bowling Trivia Contest, okay?
Absolutely. I'll wait right here for you.
All right, Pards. Well, Phantom fans, this week we're going to have another one of our popular Storm Bowling Trivia Contests. And as you know, we have a trivia contest every month, and we award a lot of great prizes. And this contest will go for 1 week, so you'll have to submit your answer to me before midnight on Sunday, July 23rd, to be eligible to win. And these contests are open to Phantom Fan Club members only, so if you want to join and you're interested in supporting Phantom Radio, drop me an email at saveoursport@yahoo.com. Okay, the July Storm Bowling Trivia Contest question is, how long did our guest Bill Hall drill balls on the PBA Tour? Well, this was mentioned earlier in the show, so everybody should get it right. And if you were sleeping and you missed it, just go back and listen again. It's just that easy. And remember, get your answers into me by Sunday, July 23rd, to be eligible to win. Okay, Bill, we're back from that short break, and I know you're never afraid to offer your opinion, so tell me, in the Oklahoma Open show that was on TV for the PBA, the players really needed to make great shots. Would you rather see that, or would you rather see the higher score formats?
Well, being a purist, I want to see the most from the player, not from the environment. I want to see the player be able to achieve things that nobody else can. That's what we look up to athletes as. But you've got, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, you hear these people say, well, you know, he shot 170 or she shot 170. I could beat that. Aren't these the same people that won't bowl on anything but a house condition? So it's kind of confusing to the general public. For me, you know, I know how good these players are. I want to see them push themselves to the limit. If it's a 170 that wins, then so be it. But at least it was earned with the ability of the player. I don't really want to watch balls get sprayed all over the lane and pins go flying across the deck. If I wanted to watch that, I'd go watch a league, and I don't go watch leagues. I'd rather watch the best perform at their peak.
You know, you're not alone with your opinion. Most of the true bowling people, students of the game, and even the top pro bowlers, they don't want those lanes easy. They want to have to make good shots to win. So hopefully that's what the game's going back to, and hopefully that's the way it's going to be down the road. But, you know, I know that you've got your finger on the pulse of our great game, and there's a lot of youth that are now trying to get college scholarships for collegiate bowling teams. Do you think that this is the future of the sports side of bowling?
Without a doubt. It is incredible how much it's growing. You go to the Midwest, and when they're bowling high school, when they're bowling collegiate, and you go watch one of these tournaments, literally, and I'm not joking, you better bring a ladder, because you have to stand up on a ladder to look over the crowds. That's how packed the bowling centers are when you go watch these things. The parents are involved, the schools, there's a lot of scouts now looking for college players throughout these high school events. And that's the other reason why I believe my lesson business is expanding, is because colleges are now moving away from house conditions and moving much more towards demanding oil patterns, because they've got to treat it as a sport because it's in their sport programs. So it's growing beyond belief. My only major concern, and maybe it'll work itself out, is what do these kids bowl when they get out of college? Will there be something substantial enough to make a living at bowling? I think that's an unanswered question right now. You know, on one side, it seems like things keep going better, but on the other side, it looks like the prize funds really aren't going anywhere, but the cost of living, the cost of traveling, the cost of equipment is constantly going higher. So will they see the value in it, and will there be a better value in the future? I really don't know, but right now collegiate is absolutely exploding across the United States.
Yeah, so is high school, just like you said, especially in the Midwest, where they have, you know, shortened season because of different weather and all that. But yeah, it's got some good signs ahead. You know, I mentioned earlier, and I want to do this again before we run out of time, because we always do run out of time, but how can our listeners get this glove that you came up with, Bards?
Well, a lot of pro shops are now starting to carry it, and then there's always being able to go to the Storm Bowling website, stormbowling.com, and they have that the glove for sale on the site there, and actually quite a few pro shops are carrying it. Right now, Bowlers Mart, one of the companies I'm affiliated with, quite a few of their pro shops are starting to carry it. So, you know, it's pretty accessible. If you really want to find it, it's out there. And if you can't get it, talk to your pro shop operator about getting it, because quite a few distributors also have it.
All right, one final time. What's the name of the glove? How can they get it?
Power Glove.
All right, Power Glove by Billy Hall and Storm Products, right?
Correct.
All right, well, I'm looking at the clock on the wall. We got about 2 minutes left, but I value your opinion so much that I've come up with a hypothetical question for you, and I know you're going to have a very thoughtful answer if I give you enough time to think about it, but if you had a chance to watch a three-game match while these people were in their prime, would you watch basically a senior tour, a women's tour, or a regular tour with the following bowlers? The regular tour would have Roth and Holman. The women's tour would have Wendy McPherson and Lisa Wagner. Or the senior tour would have Earl Anthony and Dick Weber. Wow, what a tough question that is.
Oh, my God. Hold on, I got to think about that for a second.
I don't blame you, man. I wrote it down about a month ago, and I still can't decide. So I'm leaving it in your court.
Can I just mix them up a little bit? Of those choices right there, I would have to say Anthony versus Dick Weber. And the reason is very simple. Earl Anthony, I can't ever thank him enough for everything he taught me. It was unbelievable that he took me under his wing, and I can't believe how blessed I am to have that happen. But Earl Anthony knew the game. He knew the precision of the game, and the man was a legitimate machine when throwing a bowling ball. Dick Weber, because how can you not like Dick Weber? Seriously.
Really, yeah.
I mean, the guy, you know, yeah, he fell off balance a lot and everything like that, but let me tell you what, that was like watching poetry. His rhythm was always on, and you know, even when he would work on his game on tour, and people don't realize, you know, even when I went out on tour, the man still was working on his game, just like Earl Anthony was.
Yeah.
But they were all small fixes, because there was never a major flaw in either one of their games. And, you know, they just brought something special to the lanes. And it's no disrespect to anyone else, but, you know, that would be my choice.
Yeah. I have to lean that way myself, Bards. The other players were all fantastic, and it's kind of an unfair question because there are different eras, there's different styles, but it's a hypothetical, something we can think about. Maybe I'll give you some different choices next time, but I can see by the old clock and wall we're out of time, and I can't believe how quickly the time flies in this show, Pards, and it's probably why they say it's the fastest show in all of sports, but once again, I want you to know I really appreciate you being on with us and giving our listeners all the information that you always do, and I really enjoy talking with you, so thanks again for taking the time to be here with us. You keep up the good work, and hopefully I'll see you again soon, somewhere down the road.
Sounds great, Blue Doyle, and I really appreciate you having me on the show. And one thing I want to bring up real quick is I saw the post of a Lenny Nicholson oil pattern drawn out with everything, and how many pumps of sprays, and how it was buffed, and which way it was moved. And then to see people trying to put that kind of artistry in a machine makes me laugh.
I've got a thing on the wall here, and it's got it's a cartoon from that guy, Walt Steinziak, who was a cartoonist. And he has a picture of me and a picture of John Davis. And he's got the dinosaur, which is me, and John Davis and his machine, which is the genius. So just to be in that category makes me feel good. But I appreciate your words, Pards, and that's going to wrap up another show for this week. And hope that you all enjoyed it. You enjoyed hearing from Bill Hall. We look forward to talking to all of you again next week. We have yet another interesting guest to talk to. In closing, we sincerely want to thank our sponsors, ElitePro Bowling.com, Storm Bowling Products, Stars and Strikes, America's Bowling News Magazine, and Brad Edelman and his High Roller and Military Championships for their valued and continued support of our show. We appreciate all that they do to keep us coming back to you each and every week. So, for Phantom Radio, this is The Phantom.